Well, for everyone, we welcome you. Last week, Pastor Phillips said something new that I want to start saying on a regular basis, and here's what it is. Welcome to the building, church. All right, so we want to welcome the church to the building today. This building is nothing more than a facility to facilitate us getting together and us to hear the word of God, to sing praises unto him, but then also, let's be honest, get some marching orders. Amen. Find out what this next step looks like. And so today is the final of our special guest series that we've been doing. I said this morning to the team as we were getting ready, I'm both happy and sad. I am so happy that once again, I don't have to preach this morning. But I'm also so sad because that means next week I have to preach again, which means I actually have to go to work this week. I'm not excited about that. But no, I am excited to kick off our brand new conversation next week of becoming the church. And so this isn't just a phrase that we're throwing out there. This is a journey that we're going to take between now and Easter. And a spiritual journey that we're going to take as a church is called the JXP Jesus Experience. The best way to say it is, it'll be our curriculum. Now, our curriculum, you do not have to run out and buy a bunch of books, workbooks, handbooks, handouts, anything like that. We are going to read a biography about a man named Jesus written by a guy named Luke. So if you have a Bible already, you own the biography named Luke. Now, if you don't own the Bible, here's the great news for you. You can read it for free online. If you don't have a phone, if you don't have online services, and you don't own a Bible, come see me. We will take care of you. We'll get a biography into your hand. And so JXP was an experience that I went through. It was almost 2 years ago now. And I will be honest with you, it was the best Bible study that I've ever gone through. Because here's what we did. We only studied the Bible. We're going to tell you more about that in weeks to come. Don't worry about that. But as I went through it, I knew that this was an experience I wanted us, the church, not the building, the church to go through. And so I originally had a man by the name of Dan Shirtle planned to be here this Sunday. But unfortunately, due to some illnesses with his wife, he called and said, hey, graciously, at the time it was, I'm not sure my wife will be here tomorrow. Now, God has performed a miracle. She's still there, but we decided to serve him and say, yes, stay at home with your wife fighting for her life. That's just kind of giver I am. What can I say? I'm generous like that. So then Dan wasn't able to come, and instead, Dan was one of the originator and architects of this. Instead, we were having a guy named Jason come over. He actually lives in St. Charles. He's a part of a company helping develop this JXP. And Jason ended up finding out that his daughter had a major competition today, and he called and said, hey, I know I said I was maybe available, but I need to be a father. And so the gracious man that I am, I said, yeah, go be a good dad. And so again, so now, and right now you're sitting there going, man, are we three deep on who he tried to come here? No, we're five deep, but I don't have time to tell you the whole story. I just, so you know, I worked on that whole opening this morning just for Pastor Casey, and he's gone. But here's how God orchestrated this. Oh, a few weeks ago, don't turn his mic on yet, he's not up here, we don't want to hear what he has to say yet. Oh, he ain't getting paid for this time. No, we were actually having a pastor's meeting here, and we were standing in the back, and Pastor Casey started, just out of the abundance of who he was, telling me what God has put on for his church, what God had put on his heart for his church. And Pastor Aaron was somewhere around here, and I said, hey, Pastor Aaron, come here. I go, Jerry, say this again. He started sharing, and I looked at him, and I said, God didn't put that on your heart for your church. He put that on your heart for our church. And when I heard what God had been brewing inside of him, I actually said, would you please come? So I canceled Dan from coming, and I canceled Jason from coming, and maybe two others. I lost count at this point. And I actually did say this. I said, would you come and share the word that God has been putting on your heart? So Pastor Casey has been friends of the family, friends of our church. Actually, we think for well over 20 years is what we kind of, going on 30 years now. So if you would, could you stand to your feet, put your hands together, and honor Pastor Casey as he brings the word of God today.
When I cough, I have not had COVID. So just so you know, okay. I want to thank all of the navigation leadership for allowing our church to use your building on Saturday. I'm a little emotional about it. I can't tell you what a blessing it has been for us to come here, and we try to make sure that when you come in on Sunday morning, you don't even know we've been here. So if there's ever an issue, you just let us know. We'll take care of that. And I want to thank Pastor David and Cammie. Wow, you are so blessed. To have this man and his wife at the helm of the ship, guiding and working and loving God. He loves God. They love God. He serves the Lord. He wants to do whatever God wants for this church in whatever season. And to find a man that will do that is a gift. It truly is a gift. And I have great respect for him. In fact, I go to him for inspiration. When you get to my stage of the game, I'm hitting 65 here in a couple of weeks. And I don't have the energy level that I used to have, and so I have to get around some young guys to get some inspiration, and he inspires me to be better and to just keep at it and keep going, and he inspires me to be in good shape. And you're probably wondering, well, Pastor Casey, you got about 20 pounds there you need to dump. And it's not my fault. He just needs to give me more inspiration, okay? And then Pastor Aaron and Katie, wow, what an awesome team you have in this house. Pastor Aaron is so smart at all that computer stuff and internet stuff. I don't have a clue what I'm doing. Brother Brian, bless his heart, I met him this morning, and he's a massage therapist, and we've been looking for one. And I said, well, let me get your name. He goes, well, let me just drop you a pen. I said, dude, I don't need you to drop an ink pen or anything. I just need to put it in my phone, all right? He goes, wow, you're really behind the times, aren't you? I said, well, I don't have a Pastor Aaron in my church, okay? And there are three things about Pastor Aaron I have to tell you. I have got to know him so much with us being here, and I just love him to death. And the first thing that I love about him the most is the times I have popped in here, he never is having a bad day. I have never seen him had a bad day. I just want you to know that. The second thing, I have never, ever seen him with a bad attitude. No matter what I'm asking of him or pulling on him, I've never seen this man with a bad attitude. And I've never seen him with a bad hair day. This guy, I tell you what, when I die and go to heaven, the new body I want his body, and I want his hair. And I'm set. All right, you've never had a, yeah, that's a solar panel for a love machine. I know what it is, man. Don't tell me. I know what that is right there. You ain't kidding me, buddy. All right, enough of the insults and pleasantries, okay? All right, I'm going to start off today with 1 Chronicles chapter 4, 9 through 10. Now, many of you who have been a Christian for many long time, you know that this is, you're going to recognize this passage as the prayer of Jabez. Raise your hand. If you heard the prayer of Jabez, great. Here we go. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Behold, I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. And to that I say yes and amen. And then if you will, if you have your Bibles or your app, go to Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 23. Here we find Jesus sharing a parable. And by the way, I did not know that you were getting ready to do JXP and going into the book of Luke. And two of my references this morning are from Luke. So Luke 14, 16 to 23, then Jesus shared a parable. And a certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they all with one accord began to make excuses. Have you ever been in that church? The first said to him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it." First off, you should have never bought it without seeing it first. Nobody buys a piece of ground without looking at it, okay? "I ask you to have me excused." Another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test drive them. And I ask to have me excused." Still another said, "I have married a wife, and she won't let me come out and play." No, just kidding. Make sure I have your attention. Because I can just tell you right now, if my wife is invited to a man's house for dinner for free, and they're going to feed us and she don't have to cook, we're going. We are going, okay? Now, I have your attention. He says, "Because I have gotten married, I have a wife, so therefore I cannot come." So the servant came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes in the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed, the lame and the blind. And the servant said, master, it is done as you had commanded, and there still is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And to that I shout, yes and amen. May the house of the Lord always be filled to capacity. Give God some praise. Come on. If you're going to do it good or don't do it. Don't do it like one of them TV crowds, okay? Don't do it like that. The words that I want you to be thinking about now for the next several minutes is the God gene. Can you say that out loud? The God gene. My goal this morning is to help you in increasing and enlarging your God gene quotient. You need to have it enlarged so that you can increase your capacity for spiritual growth, for God's blessing, and for more spiritual movement. It is the God gene that helps you to increase your capacity for the power of God in your life. Because when it is enlarged, something begins to happen. And some things begin to change for you in a great and powerful way. If you did not know, the Christian life is a very exciting life. It just is. There is never a dull moment when you're serving God. And one reason is because faith is the God gene. Romans 12, verse 3b says, and to everyone a portion has been given. And it is so that way because according to Hebrews 1:6a, it is impossible to please God without it. Also know that because of the God gene given to you, life is filled with some mystery. It's a life filled with believing and speaking things and changing things in the atmosphere and in the environment that's around you. It's an exciting life. In fact, the Christian life is supposed to be a life of growth. The interesting now, though, about spiritual growth, however, is that the potential for growth has with it a little bit of frustration. Because if you feel like you're not growing, or that your life is just being dead-ended or stalled, or that you've just become a victim to the routines of the day that you have established in your life, you can start getting frustrated because you don't feel like you're growing. What I have discovered is that at any particular time, when you have several people, like we have this morning and online, joining together and gathered, you start to realize that there are some people in the crowd who are growing very quickly. And then, though, there are some other people who just don't seem to be growing at all. There will even be people in the crowd who feel like they're taking four steps backward and no steps forward. Some other Christians in the house will feel like they're never, ever really going to spiritually succeed. And some other Christians just feel like they're just always constantly failing. Or you have a whole bunch of other folk who feel like they're just stuck in the middle someplace. And right now, all I can say to that is going to be a very difficult crowd to teach to. So how in the world am I going to touch every one of those people at the point of where they're at? No problem. I don't have to. That's God's job. I just have to be a vessel that's willing to be used. And that's all you have to do. You just have to be a vessel that's willing to be used. When you begin to think about all those different places in life that people are at right now, you can see why they may be a little frustrated. Because if the Christian life is a life that has to do with growth, and it has to do with increasing the portion of the God gene you have and enlarging it, then why is it that you find yourself at times just getting bogged down? You just feel like you cannot break the cycle you're in. You get stuck in one place and can't get out of it. You can't break the routine. You seem that it feels like you just can't get out of the box. You're stuck at the gate and nothing will open up for you. And you can't catch a break or even get a leg up. And you're always at the back of the checkout line. And it seems like every time you get in the car, it's on empty. You're struggling all the time with just getting forward movement. Luke 14 is a parable about a man who gave a great dinner. And I have to stop there because it's important for you to understand, if you do not, that in the New Testament there are many parables used. When a parable is used, it is telling you something, and what it is telling you is that what you are about to read is a teaching lesson. That's what the word parable means. And in the New Testament, most of the time, it is a teaching lesson from Jesus Christ himself to you. Whoa. So when I'm reading a parable in the New Testament, most of the time, it is the literal words of the Son of God, as if he's standing right here in front of me, speaking to me. If you've never seen a red letter edition of the Bible, buy one. Buy one. It brings a whole new realization to reading the New Testament. And see, when you begin looking at all these things, what you find is this. You're going to discover, by participating in JXP, what the things Jesus said in the entire book of Luke. So when you read and study the Word of God, what you find is that the Word of God teaches you some specific things about God, in that there are some things that are optional, and there are some things that are not optional. For instance, we know that God is love. Amen? Can y'all shout, God is love?
God is love.
And you all probably agree with that, and you should definitely do. Therefore, what that means, though, is that love is not optional for you. You see, you can't be a follower of Jesus Christ and not have love. You can't. To serve him, you have to love him, and you have to love doing the things of his in return. This is why I don't understand how someone can call themselves a Christian, yet they hate Jesus' wife. Yes, you heard me right. Jesus Christ has a wife, and Navigation is her name. It is his church, the redeemed. All of you are a part. I love this slide. All of you, if I could have taken everyone, and thank God for Facebook, that's all I can say. And thank God that all of our faces of the redeemed are right there. You are the bride of Jesus Christ. If you have received him as your Lord and Savior, you are a part of his church. The word even shows you that the church is the bride of Christ. So here's all I would like somebody to do and explain to me logically and biblically. How can you say you love Jesus, but you don't want to be a part of his family? And you don't ever want to be around his wife? You see, that's like kind of telling me you're a basketball player, but you don't ever get on a basketball court and shoot a ball. You're not much of a basketball player. What that all means is this. You cannot serve God without love, and love doing the things of God. The Bible tells you in 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, because God is love. Now, I got to tell you, to me, and I didn't go to seminary, okay, but to me, that sounds like a pretty big, important passage of Scripture. You know, I just take the word for what it says. So to me, what I see there, love's not optional. And then the second part of it says in 1 John 4:20, if you cannot love your brother who you do see, how can you love your God who you don't see? Once again, you cannot be a Christian without love. Loving others, it's not optional. Jesus is teaching you that in his parable concerning others in Luke 14. And there is good news in it. I know right now you're going, wow, this is not the exciting sermon I thought this guy was going to do. Right now, I got some good news for you, because here's what this really means. It means this. God loves you. And here's what it also means. Are you ready? Look at the person next to you and say this. You got to love me. It's not an option. It's not an option. I don't know why all of a sudden I sound like I was from New Jersey right there. You know, it's not an option, okay? You got to love me. You got to forget about it. No, you can't forget about it. You got to love me, okay? So, we understand love is not an option. We also know God is holy. Shout, God is holy. So God says to you, be holy as the Lord your God is holy. You can only be made holy through through the grace and mercy and love of Jesus Christ. These things are not optional. The truth being presented to you is this. Whatever God is cannot be optional for you. That's why he gave you a God gene. He gave you a piece of himself. I love that truth. It means that each one of you, right now this morning, inside of you, you have a piece of God. And everyone does. Oh, here comes, ready? Believers and non-believers. You see, God breathed it into us when he literally made us. The difference for the believer is your desire to enlarging, increasing, and developing your God gene, the portion of faith that he has given to you. Now, there are also other things as well that God brings to the equation, because you cannot bring them to the equation. And what I mean by that is you don't have something, so God brings it. Example, you could not save yourself, so God brings you salvation. And what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to bring a response to it. And you're supposed to respond to it by receiving it. God also says, I am. Shout, I am. When God is saying that all throughout the word, from old to new, because Jesus Christ even called himself the I am, because he is. What Jesus Christ is saying to you is that I am has given you something, because you have to bring something. And what you're to bring is that piece of faith that I gave you, which is your God gene. There's a passage of scripture that we have read for years as Christians about let the poor say I am rich and let the weak say I am strong. Have you heard that passage of scripture? I gathered a whole new realization of it and an impact that have been in my life recently. Are you ready? That's not talking about us. What it's saying to you is this. Let the poor say, I am, is rich. Let the weak say, the I am is strong. Not me, no, the I am. And I have a piece of the God gene in me, so I am made strong through his faith that he has put in me. Because let the weak say, I am, is strong. Let the poor say, the I am is rich. You have to bring faith, because God, here, let me surprise you with something. God doesn't need faith. The I am is complete. The I am is without need. The I am finished it. So God brings salvation, and you need to receive it. And what you bring to the equation is faith to believe it. This is why the Word of God says in Hebrews 11:6, for those who want to come to God, they must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And you're able to believe because of your God gene, because of the faith that's put in you. There are also other things that God carries the attributes of. Now I want you to listen to how I said that. There are things that God carries the attributes of that he is not. Let me give you an example. Track with me here. God is not actually prosperity. God is a prosperer. Because you can love God and be broke. God is not blessing. He is a blesser. Because you can live for him and not be blessed. You can. God is not healing. God is a healer. Because you can live for God and not be healed. God possesses those attributes, but God is not that. Those things, here it comes, are optional for you. But the things that God is are not optional. Once again, God is love. That is not optional. God loves you, God loves me, and I'm so glad that it's not an option for me, and I'm glad it's not an option for him. I like it, because sometimes I can just really mess this Christian thing up so good, and I still know that God's going to love me even when I have failed him. No different than I am required to love you even when you have failed me. It's not optional. Another example is light. Light is not an option, because we know that God is light. We know from this then, As a Christian, you're to proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. This is not optional. This is why the word of God also says in 1 John 1:7, come let us walk into the light as he is in the light. Here's the problem for many people. If you choose to walk in the darkness, what happens is that you lose things that God is trying to do for you, because light and darkness have nothing in common. Listen very close now, because I'm about to tell you something about who God is that you may not have probably heard said this way. So just stay with me. God is greater than the sum total of all of his principles and his teachings. To some, that may be a surprise because you've put God in a box. What this means is that you can know Bible verses and principles and still not really know God, because God is bigger than the sum total of all his principles, of all his teachings, of everything that you know of him. He is bigger. When you think he knows God, he just steps in and is bigger. This is why the angels of heaven are always going, holy, holy, holy. There he did it again. He just got bigger. He just did something I never thought he could do. Holy, holy, holy. Yeah. Wow, God, can you save me? Can you deliver me? You did. Look at the mess I'm in. Holy, holy, holy. They cry, holy, 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 because every time they think he's big enough, he just gets a little bit. Give him some praise. Can you do that? Okay. So here's the thesis for the lesson. Now, I had to put that word in there because I heard that Dr. Patty was going to be live streaming today because they got some COVID in their house, and I needed to come up with a big theological word that she could feel, that she could relate to, all right? The thesis for the lesson. I'm not sure what that word means, but I threw it in here anyway, all right? Change begins in your life when you realize that you have options. And the greatest option you have is to choose to enlarge your God gene. Because when you do, everything changes for the better. All things are made possible for those who believe. And without faith, without your God gene, it is impossible to please God. And please know that mustard seed faith can be enlarged. I can tell you this now. Going on 65 years of age, I've tried to serve the Lord faithfully my entire life. The faith I have now is larger than the faith I started with. So God comes and he says, I will bring my worthiness. I will bring my holiness. I will bring my forgiveness. I will bring all of my attributes. But you must bring the God gene that I gave you. God said, I'm not going to praise myself. That's why you were created. You need to praise me. If you give me praise, I will arise in the midst of your enemies and they will be scattered. All your enemies will go running. There is something that God does, and there is something that you must do. That God gene helps you to realize that everything in Christ Jesus is available, but not very many things are automatic. So it is available for you to be blessed, but it's not automatic. It's available for you to be healed, but it's not automatic. It's available for you to be delivered, but it's not automatic. It's available for you to grow and become a disciple, but it's not automatic. This is why, church family, your participating in JXP, the Jesus experience, matters so much for you. Because when you have a Jesus experience, your God gene quotient is enlarged. It is increased. Your capacity for faith is expanded to new heights that you never thought it could be. And you begin to believe things that you never thought were possible. Because there is something that has to be done to grow. You have to realize that you have an option. You have the choice of whether or not you're going to stay and keep going and living in the same place, the same pain that you were born in as Jabez, or whether you're going to get up and you're going to pray the prayer of Jabez in faith. Activate that God gene you have and shout, God, would you please enlarge my God gene? It is truly the prayer of enlargement, because Jabez had to come to the understanding that it's okay to ask God to bless you. And so give him some praise. Come on, that's good word right there. Jabez said, Lord God, bless me indeed. Because when I was born, evidently, it was a painful circumstance. Evidently, there was something going on because they named me after the circumstance. They named me after the pain. They told me that I was a painful person. And now whenever someone sees me coming, they say, here comes he who brings pain. And I'm tired of being acquainted with pain. I'm tired of living my life in pain. I'm tired of painful thoughts and painful memories. I'm tired of living every day like this, Lord. And I thank you right now, Lord God, because I am just coming to the realization that I have been given an option to developing my God gene in Christ Jesus. That even though I may have started this way, I do not have to finish this way. So include me in JXP. I'm so glad now. I wrote here, order me a book. I don't need one. I already got one. All right, so keep your book, okay? I got mine. All right, all right. Yeah, hook me up. Count me in. They may have called me some things. Listen, I have been called things by professionals. Okay, there is nothing anybody in church could ever call me that would hurt my feelings because I have been called names by professionals. They may have labeled me an addict, an abuser, an adulterer. They may have labeled me a racist, a gossip. As a person who has a short fuse, they may have labeled me as selfish. They may have labeled me a victim. They may have labeled me as being less than I am. But I am not none of that. I am none of those things because my God says, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves me. Yes, indeed, JXP. And he gave me a God gene. And with my God gene activated, I can enlarge my thinking. I can enlarge my mind. I can enlarge my heart. I can enlarge my walk with Jesus Christ. I can enlarge my purpose. I can enlarge my relationships with others. And this will happen for you if you choose to be a part of JXP, the Jesus Experience. So let your prayer be this. God, increase my God gene. Lord God, enlarge it. Take the limitations off of me and blow a hole in the roof because I'm going to make 2022 the best year for me spiritually that I've ever had in my entire life. Now, I need to pause right here for a minute, though, and talk to some people who are acquainted with pain. This part may not be for everybody. The Lord laid this on my heart. But I know that there's a fair amount of people that are going to know exactly what I'm talking about because, like me, you've been acquainted with pain. And the first thing you need to know about it is that if you're not careful, if you spend too much time being acquainted with your pain, you don't realize that there is another option. Did you know that you can build your life around your pain? You can build your friends around your pain. And then you all begin to sit around talking about whose pain is the worst, and they'll say to you, oh, this is what I've been through. If you only knew the pain I've been through, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And then you look back to them and you say, oh, well, that's not really that bad. You won't believe what I've been through. And they'll say, no, I think you're wrong in that. You see, I had this surgery and I've got a scar. Did you know I had 30 stitches? Would you like to see my scar? And then that other person will say, no, that's not, you want to see a real scar? I'll show you a real scar. And it's like it's always some kind of contest and some kind of competition to see who can one-up the other on about how bad their pain is. And if you're not careful, your pain will become an excuse. Your pain will become the reason as to why we need to tolerate your crazy dysfunctional drama and trauma self. As if we're not to expect you to control yourself and we're supposed to act like this is a normal way of behaving because you've been through some pain, because somebody didn't treat you nice, because somebody stole your tricycle when you were 5, somebody didn't invite you to the prom, because you can't get a good job because you didn't want to go to school, and you can't keep any relationships because hurting people hurt people. And I will tell you, if it was all that simple, wouldn't it be easy? But the truth of the matter is that there are many deep-rooted pains in people. There are pains because somebody didn't want you. There are pains because somebody mishandled you. There are pains because people that were in a position to help you and nurture you chose to drop you and left you in your loneliness. They didn't know what to do. So they stepped on your self-esteem and they broke it like somebody stepping on a twig. And the truth of the matter is that you have spent half of your adult life trying to get over the pain that somebody put on you when you were a child. I remember that because I was one of those people. You're still trying to shake off those daddy issues. You're trying to deal with the stuff that is so way down deep inside of you in the secret place of life. Have you ever felt your pain becoming toxic? Have you ever felt your pain bleeding over into other areas of your life, like your marriage, your job, your friendships? Have you ever felt your pain getting to the point where you can't even control it? And then because of it, you start sabotaging all of your friendships because you're in pain. But you feel like you're powerless to change it. Well, I am here today on assignment to tell you are not powerless. You have been given a God gene. And as you work together with Jesus Christ in being a part of GXP, that God gene will grow and enlarge, and all things will be made new, and all things will become possible for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in His Word. Mark 9:23 said so. To believe, to think something is true without having any proof, that's called faith. This is why your God gene is so important, because without it, you will never believe what God has said about who you are and what you can do through His Son, Jesus Christ, your Savior, your Lord, and your King. But because you have chosen to activate your God gene, you now believe that all things are possible for them who believe. And I say yes and amen. The God gene also helps you to believe that you do not have to live your life the way you started. It is never too late to start over. Somebody here needed to hear that. It is never. The God gene helps you to believe that you do not have to live your life. You do not have to live your life the way that you started. It is never too late to start over. But I have to add to that. As long as you think it's going to happen without any involvement, cooperation, or choosing from yourself to developing your God gene, waiting for God to do something that God has put into your power to do, I must tell you, as a pastor, nothing will change like it could. And here's why. There are things that God brings to the table that are not optional because of who He is. And there is something that you must bring for things to improve and enlarge. And the good news is that God, your God, has already given it to you. Since I started a few minutes ago, now we've come full circle. Because the God gene is faith. God says to you today, I will bring my power. I will bring my might. The worship songs that the praise team chose today went right along with this message. The words your pastor was sharing before service even began this morning. He preached half my sermon already. God says, I will bring my power. I will bring my might. I will bring my spirit. I will bring my Son. I will bring my grace. I will bring you my mercy. I will bring you my patience. I will bring you unconditional love. I will bring you my word that is written in the book of Luke. I will bring you all that I have. And all I ask is for you to bring me the God gene that I put in you. The thing that I just put a little bit of in everybody. The thing that will help you to see things not as they are, but as they can and should be, is the God gene, faith. Would you bow your heads, please? Father God, I thank you for these, your people who come this morning. They come because they love you and they serve you, and they come with a desire to grow. They come with a desire to be enlarged, because there are so many other things they could be doing. Those who are listening through live stream right now, Father God, touch them and bless them as they hear your word. But right now, Lord Jesus, I know that there are those who have walked through pain and maybe living in the middle of pain, because we live in some painful times right now. And in the quiet of this time, there's a worship song that I want to sing. And as I do, pray and just tell Jesus, touch me, touch me, touch me. I know what it's like to be in the presence of the Lord. And not know what time it is, because time stood still. Never wanted to end. So I say, stay. I don't want you to go.
Presence of the Lord. know what time it is. Because time stood still. And bodies were healed. Right now, Jesus. Families restored. Make it so, God. Because we've stayed here in the presence of the Lord. No one had to say a word. Never want it to end. So I say, stay. I don't want you to go. No, no, my Jesus, 'cause my heart is burning in your presence, Lord. Please stay. I don't want you to go, my Jesus, 'cause my heart is burning in your presence, Lord. Oh, I want more. Your hand and tell him, I want more. Jesus, I want more. So I'll stay or else would I go. My heart is burning in your presence, Lord. Please stay.
As he was playing that song, so anytime a pastor is listening to another pastor preach, you get fired up and your brain goes crazy and you want to come up and almost re-preach what he taught because you're inspired. But as he was doing that song, I started thinking, and for those of you dealing with pain, I believe there's a word of freedom delivered to you today, and I hope you take a hold of that. But here's just a very practical question for you. For you that have been living with pain, how's that working out for you? And another one that you mentioned when it comes to those of us maybe that deal with addiction, how's that working out for you? Those of you that live with an angry lifestyle, how's that working out for you? And I was quickly going back through my notes of all the examples that he gave. But if any of the examples that he gave today, how's that working out for you? Because if you just find that you're miserable all the time, maybe now's a good time to say, let's develop something else.
Amen.
Let's pursue something else.
Amen.
And so, God, to finish our time, we just say this: develop within me that God gene. It may not be the journey I'm expecting. It may not even be the prayer that I like, but develop in me the God gene. And let the faith inside of me grow evermore. Amen. Amen. Could you do me a favor? Would you put your hands together and just bless Pastor Jerry? Oh, he's down there.